Welcome to K-State Online. Mason Voth, Drew Galloway here with you on a Monday morning. So not waiting until the afternoon, because we wait until the afternoon every day last week and not anything happens. So might as well just get out of the way today. If something substantial happens with portal entrance for K-State, we will obviously have you covered in a lot of different angles here at KSO. But Monday, March 31st, last day of the month, also a big day for the start of K-State's transfer portal recruiting, because one of the first known visitors is supposed to be in Manhattan today. That is Markell Sutton, who was the Summit League Player of the Year at Omaha this past season. The Mavericks went on this nice little run. They were the regular season Summit League champs, and they won the Summit League Conference Tournament in the title game against a team that wasn't even eligible to make it to the NCAA tournament. And Markell Sutton was a big part of that. Nearly 19 points a game, almost 8 boards. Not overly fantastic at shooting the ball, but maybe enough to keep you honest and maybe some reason to think that he could be a little bit better there. And he is a guy that is inside the top 60 of guys in the portal currently. And that number hovering, staying right there. We talked earlier in the process about some of the other guys that would be mentioned, that like Chase Forte. He's dropped like a rock, and we said that would happen. Markell Sutton is able to kind of hold his own with everybody else that's in there. But how significant is it that K-State's getting the first visit from Markell Sutton?
Yeah, I think that the most significant part of this is that this is the first visit. It seems like with a lot of transfers, especially basketball-wise, they will only take one or two visits and then just kind of call it good. Like there are times where guys will take a lot of visits, like Tyler Perry, I think, actually took 5 official visits when he was in the portal. But it seems like a lot of these guys, they take one or two visits and then they're like, okay, like I'm done. Like I know where I want to be, because the recruiting process is so sped up in the portal. The other significant portion of this is that there is a dead period beginning in a few days. Markell Sutton doesn't have any visits planned before the dead period. The ideal scenario is that K-State gets this locked up while he's in Manhattan today and a little bit tomorrow, because you want to get this done. When you are the first team and you know that there's a dead period coming up and you know that he doesn't have any visits planned until after the dead period, like I think that I saw that his next visit isn't until like April 11th that he has scheduled. That means that you want to get it done. Because there will be a lot more suitors post Final Four than there are now. And there's a ton of suitors now.
Well, and you just think April 11th, that is a ways away. And that, like, in transfer portal time, that's like a month, you know, the way things play out here. So, yeah, you would certainly hope that K-State would be able to lock it down. And this is one of those deals where I think in the portal, you want to either have, and really like a lot of recruitments, you either want to have the first visit, take the first crack, and then maybe you're the one that gets somebody to say, I'm shutting it down, this is where I want to be, or you get that last visit. Now, in the transfer portal, the last visit situation is a little bit more dicey, because a lot of times we'll see those guys say, hey, you know what, I found my spot, I'm not going on this last visit. So I think if you were choosing between the two in this circumstance, you do want this first one, because think of how many guys, like you said, only take 1, 2, 3 visits. And, you know, there's that team that, oh, this guy should be getting on a flight to go to the third or fourth visit right now, and he's not going to do it now. He's going to go home and rethink it and just do like a Zoom call or something. And it's like, well, can tell you who's not landing the kid. It's the one doing the Zoom call right now. So I think that this is a good start for K-State. This should give some people some excitement, and, you know, not necessarily that anything is imminent. We know how that word can be used sometimes, but I think that this is something where you're probably going to be on the edge of your seat as a K-State fan over the next couple of days, hoping that K-State has done enough to lock down a player like Markell Sutton that, I mean, worst case scenario, Sutton comes in and is like third or fourth best player on your team next season. And that's probably a good place to start here. And I think that he provides the ability to just be a pretty, like, I don't think that he's going to come in and be a bust for you. You may not get the high end of what I think some people would think, because I don't know that Markell Sutton's that, but this would be a nice addition, a good base to start the transfer portal with.
No, this would definitely be somebody that gets everybody excited and is a good piece. I'm still a little bit thinking about where I would play him. Like he might be a three or a four. And again, like I said last week, if he can get down to like 2 3-pointers a game and is hovering around like that 31-32% range, I think that that's fine. Cause I think that that, if you look at his career trajectory, that's kind of where he's trending towards. I think that more threes are probably a bad thing for him, but if he can make one or two a game, kind of keep the defense honest, because he's really good at getting downhill and getting to his spots. I've kind of joked about it with KSU underscore fan already, talking about if he ends up at K-State, that there's going to be a lot of people that, including myself, that get driven a little bit crazy because Markell Sutton does love a good mid-range jump shot, but he does make them at a really high clip.
Yeah, I was going to say, as long as they fall, you know, it's okay.
So I think that that will drive people a little bit crazy if you haven't watched him before, but he does make them very well. He can really, really get to the rim as well. And I think that playing him at the three or the four probably makes a little bit more sense, because I don't know if he can play the five at this level, but I think that he is somebody that you definitely take and you kind of work around him, because depending on what else you get, kind of depends on what position that he ends up playing. Mm-hmm. And you'd probably like him to play a little bit more of the four than play the three more. But it kind of appears, if you look at K-State's transfer targets that they're going after, that there's definitely a real world where K-State has three guards that are starting lineup, then one wing, and then a big.
Yeah. So with Sutton looking like K-State's trying to move this thing forward, we also have some other names that have started to pop up. The list has gotten longer since the weekend, because we talked about Sutton on Friday and then also Josh Harris from North Florida, and that was the cutoff. Since that point in time, there have been six other names pop up that K-State has been linked to in some way. This isn't by no means like this can be as simple as K-State's given somebody a phone call or, you know, some kind of communication to be like, hey, what's the deal? Like, doesn't mean that K-State really wants a guy or is all the way in, but they've established contact. And one that we know it's probably a little bit more than just touching base, it's, hey, I think we want this guy, is Jahleel Bethea from Miami, who, as it sits right now, is the number 25 ranked player in the transfer portal. He's got 3 years of eligibility left because he just wrapped up his freshman season at Miami. You can see the numbers, just over 7 a game, close to 33% from three, 2.1 rebounds. He's 6'5", so there's some room to grow with his game, but he was the number 6 player in the class of 2024. So he was highly thought of this time a year ago and then ends up at Miami, who, double whammy, crappy team, and the coach quits on you in the middle of the year. So Jahleel Bethea is a player that K-State is in his final four of teams with that he is looking at in the transfer portal process.
Yeah, it's also funny to me that we're in this day and age where Jahleel Bethea announces a top four of teams in the portal, and one of them is Miami.
Yeah.
So that just kind of cracks me up a little bit. But Bethea is a unique case study, because he was on a terrible team with a coach that quit on them in the middle of the season and had an okay freshman season. But holy cow, if you look at the top five of last year's recruiting class, all of those guys were absolute studs and are going to be one and dones this season and go to the NBA. Bethea didn't reach that. And I think that a lot of that probably stems from Jim Larrañaga deciding to call it quits in the middle of the season, playing on a really bad Miami team that had really nothing going for them. So it reminds me a little bit, probably not to this extreme, because I think that Bethea is further along than this guy was last year, but kind of reminds you a little bit of the Bifall situation last year, where Bifall was on a horrible Arkansas team not just record-wise, but culture-wise, his coach left and wanted out from the beginning of last year and then did leave. But Bethea isn't as raw as Bifall is.
Yeah, Bethea actually played and put up some numbers, you know, like...
Oh, yeah. Like, I see the vision here. It kind of reminds me a little bit of... I can't remember if it was Davion Mitchell or Jared Butler, but one of those two was really, really highly rated out of high school. Didn't really play much their first season, maybe even first two seasons. Transferred to Baylor and then became studs. So like it kind of reminds you a little bit of that mold.
Yeah, this is one that I think, you know, we talk so much in football season during the portal process about K-State going and getting guys like Jaden Rowe or, you know, a handful of others that we said they have enough of the proven taking a step up guys that you think will contribute. They can take some guys like this that, boy, if they hit on it, it's a big deal. And the difference here is that K-State is doing it with guys in football that it's like they've got 1 or 2 years of eligibility remaining. But Thea is a 3-year guy. So if you get him in and you crack the code with him, and who really knows how easy it could be to do that? Because like we just laid out, as bad as people would want to think K-State's situation is, they've just been a bad basketball team. But
Miami was a mess.
And like Miami the last 2 years has been a bad basketball team with maybe not this past year, but the year before that with superior talent to what K-State had. So I think that this is one that if K-State is able to be in this to the end and they were able to get Jahlil Bethea, you'd look at that and go, hey, I like what's going on here. This would be a solid pickup for K-State and one of those that we talked about last year, and it continues to be highly sought after in the portal, but you want to bring in guys that are more than just a 1-year rental. You can get guys like that, and really you need guys like that to improve your roster in a speedy way, but you want to be able to have guys that you're going to be able to get to stick around and develop over a year or two. Jahlil Bethea would be that guy, so we'll keep an eye on that one as things move along.
I did some research while I was listening to you kind of talk about everything about Bethea. It was Davion Mitchell. Davion Mitchell was the 33rd ranked prospect in his high school recruiting class. Played in 34 games for an Auburn team that was not very good. That Auburn team, or I guess that Auburn team was pretty solid, but played for a pretty good Auburn team. Averaged 3.7 points and 1.9 assists, and then transfers to Baylor. And then, remember these days, had to sit out and then played two seasons at Baylor and was really, really good and finally hit that ceiling, I think, that of the number 33 player that he was anticipated to be. So I would imagine that is kind of what Jerome Tang kind of envisions with Jahlil Bethea, and you'd expect him to be even better than Davion Mitchell was, because Mitchell was number 33 in high school. Bethea was number 6.
Yeah, other teams in the mix for Bethea, like you said, Miami hanging around in there, and then Alabama and NC State. You know, when Alabama is involved in the transfer portal, you see Alabama or Arkansas, the eyes should get big, and you go, I don't know that that's going to work out, because they've dominated the portal over the really acceleration of it. But K-State going to try and give themselves a chance for a player like Jahlil Bethea. Now, there are a number of other guys that got thrown in the mix, all of varying levels and kind of a situation where you would try to think to yourself, well, I don't really know what to expect or to think of these players. And I think they'd be more along the role way. K-State was connected to Tayton Conerway, who played at Troy this past season. So you have that name to kind of keep in the back of your head. The quick update on Conerway would be, he's 6'3", average about 14 points a game, close to 5 rebounds, close to 5 assists, so a little bit of a do-it-all type guy. Didn't shoot it particularly well.
Sunbelt player of the year, I believe.
Boy, low standards in the Sun Belt if that's the player of the year. He does finish really well, though. Field goal percentage over 47% in his two seasons with the Trojans, so he can do it, but he's just not a great shooter, and I don't know that a player like this translates all that well to the Big 12. He's also up near 3 turnovers a game. So that's something to keep in mind.
He would be a guy that would make sense if they don't get Sutton, I think. Yeah. They're kind of the same player, except Conroy passes better.
Which, another guy that fits that same mold would be Keyonte Jones, who's a tad bigger. He's 6'6". He just finished up his second season at Cal State Northridge and averaged over 13 a game, 9 boards a game, over 4 assists a game. Also a better three-point shooter now on limited attempts over the course of a game. Only took about 1 for contest this year, but was 38%. That'd be a realm that I'd be much more interested in K-State pursuing than Conroy, just because more size is better with those guys. If you've got comparable guys like that, the bigger the better it would feel. So those are two names to keep in mind. And then if you want to keep looking down the West Coast, K-State also was linked to Tyrone Riley, the fourth, if we need Roman numerals in there. He just finished up his freshman season at San Francisco, 6'6", close to 10 a game, 6 boards, and shot at 32% from 3. That was on 2.5 attempts a game, so you can gather a little bit more from that. This would be another intriguing one, and I think if of the names we've talked about, you could probably, if you're trying to make a top 5 or 10 of serious ones, like, he's going to sneak into that 5-6 range, probably, I would think. Based on the appeal alone of youth already kind of established. We know that he's seen some better levels of competition in the WCC and played on a better team in the WCC than some of these other guys. So that would be another name to keep in mind.
Yeah, and I think that all three of those guys, it's kind of, you wait and see on Sutton, because they all are kind of similar. So you'd hope that they just kind of lock down Sutton and then go from there, because I think that there's probably a way that you can make multiple of those guys or one of those guys work with Sutton, but it needs to be a guy that can shoot the ball a little bit better, because you probably can't have two guys out there that are around that 30% range.
Yeah. You want a guy that shot it a little bit better. Now, this comes at a guard spot, but K-State also has been linked to Malachi Smith, who just finished up his junior year at Dayton. He's been there 4 years, only played 1 game a season prior, but he's a guy that for his career has shot 38%, over 38%, close to 39%, and then this last season averaged about 10 a game. When healthy, he's been anywhere between 9 to 10 points a game. He's been over 5 assists a contest. So, and the other thing I would say, he didn't even play 28 minutes a game this year at Dayton. So this would be a guy that would profile. You could bring him in, and I think he could be helpful over the course of a Big 12 season, but he wouldn't come in with the expectation of, I'm playing 30 minutes a game and I need to be in the starting five. Like, I think it would be tricky, because not a lot of guys go into the portal wanting that type of role, but if you looked at Malachi Smith as a guard that came off your bench, I think that's a good option for K-State, and it'll be interesting to follow with that.
Yeah, Malachi Smith, he kind of buried the lead a little bit. His best game probably came against Iowa State. He had 22 points, 9 assists, and shot 7 of 9 from the field.
Well, that's good to know. You just load up on him, because that's an important one. But there are a lot of big time names that are in the mix here of people that have reached out: UConn, St. John's, Seton Hall, Butler, Miami, Pitt, SMU, Illinois. A lot of teams in the mix for Malachi Smith. So
we're also entering the part of the portal where I talked for a long time about how there just weren't a lot of guys that I really wanted. Well, today has been a very busy day. There are a lot more guys right now.
What names that you want?
That it's like, okay, I would want this guy on K-State's roster next year than we had at any point last week. And that's just, it's 10:52 Central Time at the moment.
Yeah, we'll monitor how the rest play out. One other name that that popped up, that maybe there was some dialogue or interest from K-State. I don't necessarily know how this would play out long term. I don't think the role that K-State could provide is probably what he'd be looking for. But Harlan Obioha, the Hoxie native, who, as Drew wants to remind everybody, was also a football prospect at one time. Tom McCarthy, come on, figure it out. Played his first two seasons at Niagara. Then this past year was at UNC Wilmington. They won the CAA, played in the NCAA tournament down in Wichita, and gave Texas Tech a good push for the first 30 minutes of that game. He just finished up his junior year, 9 points a game, six boards, stands at 7'2", 280. This would be one that he started a majority of the games for UNC Wilmington. He started all but one his sophomore year at Niagara. This would be, if he came to K-State, you would imagine the role would shrink quite a bit. And I think that this, to me, would come across as maybe a recruitment that likely goes down to an AAC level, like, you know, Wichita State, I think, is in play and they've reached out there. I could see that making a little bit more sense, but it's at least somebody that K-State has been linked to. I don't see both sides having the same idea in mind.
No, I would say AAC level. Mountain West would be kind of a sneaky one that he could find himself into.
Yeah. So much of this is going to be names at K-State. They might be, and this is good. This is Portal 101. Sometimes it's good to have recruiting 101 just to kind of give people at least how Drew or I see this, the philosophy of this all. There are going to be a lot of these names that you see that you can probably be able to determine on your own what K-State is looking for here, but there are going to be a lot of guys that pop up that it's almost like bargain bin shopping for K-State, where they see a guy, they like what's there, but they don't like it because they want him to come in and play 25 minutes a game. They like it because, like, well, you know, if we could get, you know, 11 out of you here, we like enough of that, but that's what your role needs to be. You're not a 20-minute a game guy in the Big 12 conference. So that's where some of these guys would fall. And that's why, you know, if K-State doesn't get a guy and they end up at San Jose State or whatever, you don't melt down and go, oh, Tang's losing guys to San Jose State. Well, it's because San Jose State's going to let the guy play 35 minutes a game, where at K-State he'd get like 9.
Yeah.
So it's just, that's something to keep in mind with a lot of these guys. Now, I think Harlan Obioha is a better player than our San Jose State guy that we've theorized here. But he would fall into that mold for me, where it's K-State's, it's a Kansas kid. You check in, you see, hey, maybe he would like to play in the Big 12 in this role close to home. Okay, it makes some sense. Let's do it. But, you know, that a lot of guys don't want to go out there and say, well, I could play like 20 minutes a game more here, or, you know, what they're going to pick the one where they've got a better chance to shine. And that's totally okay. That's what the portal's meant for. So just something to keep in mind with a lot of these guys.
No, that is extremely valid. Like, that's just kind of how it works now. I mean, another Portal 101 is that you'll see schools be involved for one guy, and then 10 minutes later, somebody will put out a top four that one school got axed in those 10 minutes.
Yes. Yeah. Don't ever just think that these things are going to last for a long time, because they can go pretty quick. So that's the latest on the no names and the situations that are going on right now with K-State in the portal. We'll see again if anything comes about with the Wildcats and players leaving, because we still expect that to happen.
Yes.
I can't imagine we get to the end of today without at least one of them going in, but
I've said that for the last week, so I've just kind of given up on timing of that.
Yeah, I guess maybe it's tomorrow and guys are waiting for a new month to begin and see if their April showers can bring May flowers for them. You know, that old saying.
April 1st feels like the worst time to hop in the portal.
Well, remember, Roy Williams retired on April 1st, and nobody believed it because you can't do crap on April Fool's Day. You just can't, which is the same reason why my own grandparents didn't think I was being born because my dad gave him a call on April 1st to say that they were going to the hospital and I was going to be born, and they did not buy it at first. And then there I was like 12:30 in the morning on April 2nd. So real quick before we get out of here, Drew, want to remind everybody about cats2ireland.com. Get your Ireland fun fact ready.
We're dialed.
Okay, that's good, because we want everybody to be prepared to not just experience a great football game with the 2025 Aer Lingus College Football Classic in Dublin, Ireland on August 23rd, but we want everybody to also know what they can see or know about the culture over in Ireland. And if you want to be there and have the best way to get around the Emerald Isle and see everything that you need to get the full experience, in addition to watching K-State and Iowa State, go to cats2ireland.com. They will hook you up with travel packages, hospitality packages, game tickets, everything that you need, one-stop shop for your trip to Ireland to watch the Cats. If you're still on the fence about it, you can do it through cats2ireland.com. So that is what we got there. Drew, what is the Irish fun fact for the final day of March?
This is a fun fact that I think that you're going to be – you might be kind of upset by this one with how it is labeled. So Ireland is the second largest island in Europe behind Great Britain, because Ireland is technically considered an island.
Well, number one, why would you think that I would hate that?
Because I felt like you wouldn't like that it's considered an island.
No,
Great Britain is considered an island. I thought that one of those two would upset you.
No, if something's an island, it's an island. I think more things should... Oh, Elliot. Jiminy Christmas girl. Yeah, uh-oh. That was my reaction to her. She just wiped the Bill Snyder bobblehead off of this like table that's near where her pack and play is. And Bill, just the most spry he's looked in two decades... jumped off of the platform he was standing on. So I think he's got a broken foot now. He's questionable moving forward. But no, I'm good with it, because I look, it's a legit island. It's not touching anything else. It's not a peninsula. It's an island. Same goes for the UK and everything going on there. So yeah, I'm good with it. If you can find me other islands, I'll take it. It doesn't matter how big or small they are. You're an island, so embrace it.
I have another fun fact that doesn't have anything to do with Ireland, but we discovered that Kentucky is considered a peninsula because there's three bodies of water near it.
Well, there you go.
I bet that actually probably makes you more upset.
I mean, if I can't easily identify that on a map, then yeah, it's kind of cheating. So maybe that's legit. I just I'm not gonna go and trace all your waterways to figure it out. But yeah, okay. That's a good one for everybody that's getting ready to go over there. You're going to be on island time over there in Ireland.
Island time.
Everybody thinks going to the islands is so exotic. No, not when you go to Ireland. Maybe this is where K-State can play their next MTE. They like going to the islands to play them.
There you go.
Go over there. And that would also be, we know that Ireland is a place that basketball is not that big of a deal. That's an untapped market for not only K-State, but the Big 12. So, Brett Yormark's listening. Big 12 Ireland coming to you in the summer of August 2025. Get excited for that and another failed endeavor outside of the United States. I don't think people will ever get over Big 12 Mexico, but it really does continue to just – the fact that it failed so fast and nothing was ever done in Mexico – shows how dumb of an idea it was.
Remember when KU and Houston were supposed to play a basketball game there? And yeah. Both coaches were like, absolutely not.
Yeah. Which turns out, if Bill Self and Kelvin Sampson tell you no, you should probably just do what they say.
That's a fact.
Well, Brett Yormark is getting his dream. Some Big 12 schools will play internationally eventually. And it'll be August 23rd when K-State meets Iowa State over in Dublin. We'll be there. Hope to see the rest of you there. Get there with cats2ireland.com And I'm going to see if I can glue Bill Snyder's foot back on. But you'll learn in the next couple of weeks, folks. We recorded a thing for when I'm out for a couple of days when my second child arrives, that there was also another incident during a recording session in the pack and play that unfolded in front of us. So Drew is well aware of it, and everything's good now on that front as well. So a lot to look forward to in the coming days with the transfer portal and the long term when we get deeper into April with some of the content that we got saved up for you. But that'll do it for us today here on KSO. Maybe we'll be back later if something happens in the portal. I doubt it happens today because we've been just riding along at 0 miles an hour in this thing so far.